From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Tuesday, August 16th. Coming up, four people have filed race discrimination lawsuits against Bloomington-based State Farm Insurance in recent weeks. We'll hear from a University of Illinois discrimination law expert coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Naperville City Council could ban most sales of assault rifles at its meeting tonight. Alex Stegman has details.
Mark Winters, pastor of the First Congregational United Church of Christ, told council members last month he thinks the ordinance sends a message to would-be shooters.
Naperville is not going to help you do this. We may not be able to stop you, but we're not going to help.
But Robert Beavis, owner of Law Weapons and Supply in Naperville, said this would devastate his business and wouldn't stop a shooting.
Not being able to sell these types of firearms is something we wouldn't be able to survive from.
The ban now being considered no longer includes large-capacity magazines and certain types of handguns, just rifles. Active military and law enforcement would be exempt and could still buy the weapons in Naperville. I'm Alex Stegman.
A new collaborative workforce training program in the Metro East will include an expansion of the Southern Illinois University School of Law. Dean Camille Davidson says qualified third-year students will take classes and work with state's attorneys and public defenders in the Metro East as a part of the new program.
We are excited to have our students in the area because of its close proximity to St. Louis, a close proximity to both federal and state courts in Illinois and Missouri. This gives us the opportunity to expand the footprint of the law school.
The expansion is a part of the new Southwestern Illinois Justice and Workforce Development Campus, located on the old Lindenwood University campus in Belleville. The partnership brings Southwestern Illinois College, SIU Carbondale, SIU Edwardsville, and Illinois State Police together to provide specialized training for students who want to work in law enforcement. As undergraduates return to Champaign-Urbana, the University of Illinois is preparing for the potential spread of monkeypox this fall. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, the university has vaccines available for those exposed to the virus.
Because monkeypox vaccines are still not widely available, the U of I McKinley Health Center is limiting who can receive the vaccine, known as Jynneos. Awais Vaid is the new director at McKinley. He says the health center will offer the vaccine to high-risk individuals not yet exposed to the disease when more are available.
There is a national shortage, but with the Biden administration declaring an emergency, that does free up a lot of resources.
The Biden administration declared monkeypox a public health emergency in early August. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Meanwhile, here's the latest on COVID-19 in Champaign County. Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports that 39 people are hospitalized with COVID-19. Four of those patients are in the ICU. While the overall number of hospitalizations is similar to last week, the number of people in intensive care has increased. According to the CDC, Champaign, Ford, Vermilion, Douglas, Coles, and more than 30 other Illinois counties are rated at a high community risk for COVID-19. The CDC recommends that people in high-risk areas wear a mask at indoor public places and on public transportation. Still to come, we'll learn more about racial discrimination lawsuits filed against Bloomington-based State Farm Insurance. That story from Eric Stock is coming up next on 217 Today.
Join WILL on our 10th annual private rail trip to the East Coast, October 27th through November 4th. Climb aboard beautifully restored train cars and travel in style to your destination. Your itinerary includes guided sightseeing tours in Boston and Salem with a stop in Plymouth to visit a living history museum. You'll also have time to explore these historic cities on your own. Find the complete trip schedule and pricing at will.illinois.edu/willtravel.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Four people have filed race discrimination lawsuits against Bloomington-based State Farm Insurance in recent weeks, two in Texas and two in Georgia. These new cases are in addition to similar lawsuits against the insurance giant filed in recent years. The plaintiffs claim they faced firing and other retaliation for blowing the whistle on race discrimination in the workplace. Suja Thomas is an expert in discrimination law at the University of Illinois. Thomas tells Eric Stock retaliation is common in discrimination cases, and there's a high legal bar to prove someone liable.
What we have is that people will complain about discrimination, but sometimes because they complain about discrimination, they may be retaliated against. And some of the cases that you've reported on involve those types of things where people in the workplace are reporting discrimination, then they may be retaliated against by the employer. So when you ask about empowerment to report, I think sometimes people realize that may happen to them and they may not sort of report everything that happens to them. I think other people might not understand that may happen to them, or feel like even if that may happen to them, they're still going to report discrimination.
Has corporate culture done enough to stop this kind of environment that we are seeing in different locations, albeit it's more isolated, perhaps?
I don't think corporations have done enough anywhere, sort of more generally in the United States. I think that we continue to understand that discrimination exists in the workplace, and we're not doing enough. That is, employers aren't doing enough to have discrimination not occur. So we have discrimination that is like types of discrimination, like not getting paid the same amount as someone who may be the same race or the same different race or a different national origin. We have that type of discrimination, but we also have harassment that occurs in the workplace. All of these types of things continue to exist in our workplaces, and employers certainly can do more to fight against that.
And what should they be doing?
Well, I think there's just sort of one thing that I'll mention is that the law isn't great right now. And so the employers aren't actually pushed, I feel like, into doing things as much as they should be. So right now we have this law that looks really good. States, localities, the federal government, they all have these discrimination laws that protect against race discrimination, national origin discrimination, other types of discrimination, and also protect against retaliation. However, what happens is that a person brings a case, and then after that, the courts interpret the law. And what happens is that the courts are interpreting the law in a very narrow way, such that if someone is actually harassed in the workplace, so let's say it's a sexual harassment case, you can have someone be touched multiple times, and that case will, the courts will say, that's not enough to be considered sexual harassment under the law, case dismissed. And so if in this sort of situation where courts are interpreting the law that way, employers are not pushed to make more changes because they're not paying for the discrimination.
So how hard is it then to win a race discrimination case? Do you have to assess someone's intent? There are so many different behaviors that someone could say, it wasn't really intended that way. It was an accident. It was just meant to be a joke.
Yeah. And so when we're talking about harassment, the standard is it has to be severe or pervasive. The courts, as sort of I use that one example about several touchings, the courts have said, you know, that's not enough. That's not severe enough. And any woman or anybody will tell you that if they have been touched even once in the workplace, and I'm talking about, for example, touching of breasts, that will change their way to be able to work in their workplace. And so I think that should be illegal, one, but two, even if the courts aren't interpreting it as legal, that employers, once they hear and have some good level of proof that something occurred, that there should be a zero tolerance policy and that person should be fired. And there's nothing that prevents employers from doing that.
That was attorney and law professor Suja Thomas from the University of Illinois speaking with Eric Stock. State Farm denies the allegations of race discrimination. A spokesperson says the company has long been committed to a diverse and inclusive environment. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be partly cloudy today with a high of 81 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Jennifer Fuller, Emily Hayes, and Eric Stock. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.